All right, I want to start with the very first page of the operating agreement. This is really important. One of our earlier speakers talked about the operating agreement in context of statute of frauds, and it's a title document. And it is, in fact, a title document. So we need to make sure that the contract area is covered and well-defined. And the title page has got a spot for contract area, and oftentimes we'll see it referred a reference there to Exhibit A. But let me tell you, advise that if that reference to Exhibit A is not used, if you don't just refer to Exhibit A, then what you have on the title page and what is on Exhibit A must be exactly the same. They must duplicate each other because there is a provision, there's a definition of contract area in Article 1 that also references the Exhibit A as the contract area. So very important on that. It is a statute of frauds issue, so you need to make sure that the contract area is defined in a way that it will meet statute of frauds requirements. I have, in fact, seen operating agreements where they've attached a plat with a line that was red when they drew it, and after it was copied a couple of times, it wasn't red. You could not determine what the operating agreement covered and didn't meet the statute of frauds, and therefore there's a question whether the operating agreement would be enforceable at all. And another reason for being very careful about that or to consider in the operation is in the description of the lands covered is operations on the contract area. The operating agreement and everything in it relates to operations on the contract area. But in the horizontal world, a lot of wells are drilled utilizing off-lease locations. And those operations are not technically on the contract area until the bit turns and you cross the lease line and you're actually on the leases. So I would urge you to consider whether off-lease locations are a possibility, and if so, to provide for those to make sure that the operator can be reimbursed and the parties are liable for those expenses relating to operations that are conducted on off-lease locations. Additional things that might happen that are important to the project but not necessarily occur on the contract area is produced water takeaway and also pipeline connections for both oil production and gas production. And even more critically sometimes is the way we get electrical power into power some of the facilities that are on the contract area. And how do we do that? And whether or not the parties are going to be obligated to pay for expenses relating to bringing in those facilities. Article 3 of the operating agreement has a provision, a very short provision at the beginning of it, that states that unleased minerals participants to the operating agreement, signatories to the operating agreement who own and unleased minerals are deemed to, are being participating via a deemed oil and gas lease. And I bring this up because Exhibit B is the form of oil and gas lease to be used in the JOA. And most operating agreements that I see this day don't include an Exhibit B. They'll just have a sheet of paper that says there is no Exhibit B because all of the interests are leased. But the way folks are going into areas and buying minerals these days, and then they're oftentimes operated or offered to the participant parties. And also with the fact of partial terminations, which I know have been discussed a number of times in the various talks on the leases, you could have open minerals, and the opportunity to acquire those by the parties who are participating is a real possibility, and I would suggest that even though at the outset of the project all of the minerals appear to be leased, I would encourage you to use an Exhibit B just for that reason in every operating agreement, if nothing other than best belts and suspenders. Another very important part, and this is one of the ways that an operating agreement could be termed a title document, if you will, is that Article 3 provides that all of the costs and liabilities related to the project and the ownership of production is going to be owned by the parties in the manner set out on Exhibit A, subject only to the payment of royalties. So in effect, a person or a participant could own no interest in the leases at all and could participate by virtue of being a signatory party to the operating agreement and being allocated an interest on Exhibit A. This would be a contract rights rather than a real property rights, but it is often times the result.